Welcome to Park Valley Church's Sermon of the Week. It doesn't matter if you have been a Christ follower for years or new to the Christian faith, you have come to the right place. Listen in as one of our campus pastors shares how to apply biblical truth in a tangible way. As you listen, we pray you have an encounter with Jesus that leads to real and lasting life change.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here today. I'm really excited that we're starting the Transformed series this week. And I know a lot of you have signed up for groups and things, and so it's going to be awesome. These campaigns, and I've said this over and over again, these are game changers. You know, these are things that challenge our church, and the whole church comes together. The fact that as a church we have been praying through all of this and for all these weeks to prepare for this, that makes a huge difference. There is power in prayer. So God has amazing things in store for this church and for all of our campuses, but this campus in particular, I think. So I'm very excited about it. And the purpose of this study is to change the way that you think in certain areas of your life, okay? It's to change the way that you think. That's what transformed means. It doesn't mean that we want you to conform. We want you to transform. There's a difference between conforming and transforming. Conforming has to do with your behavior. Conforming has to do with your behavior. Transforming has to do with your character. Okay? As your character changes, your behavior changes. Conforming takes place from the outside in. Transforming takes place from the inside out. As God transforms your life, your habits change. And everything changes from the inside out rather than the outside in. So the goal here is to not just change what I do, but really it's to allow God to change who I am. That's the goal of this. This is kind of a lame example, but, you know, when I started high school, you know, I went into high school thinking, you know, I've gone about as far as I can with the John Mozingo that has been in existence up until now. So if I don't change something about myself, I'm just going to be the nerd that I've been, you know, all through elementary school. So I thought long and hard, and I decided I was going to be a cowboy. That's the direction I was going to go. Yeah, I love that some of you are laughing because you're just picturing me in boots and a cowboy hat right now, and it does not work, you know. But I decided going into ninth grade, I was going to be a cowboy. You know, Urban Cowboy, the movie that was popular then, and the Marlboro Man, and all Josie Wales, all that defined, you know, what a man was. So I thought, I'm going to be a cowboy. So, you know, I bought a cowboy hat. You know, I bought the best boots that you could buy at Sears, you know, for you know, the money I had. And I bought one of those big herdsman's coats like the Marlboro Man used to wear, you know. And so I started dressing like that and wearing bandanas and all this stuff, and so I looked the part, but I was not a cowboy. You know, there was nothing about me other than the outward that said cowboy. You know, on the inside I was still the same guy, and you know, I just couldn't make it work. You know, it's not like I was out roping dogies or riding fences or whatever. I wasn't doing any of that. So, you know, I changed the outward. I conformed to a standard that the world had created, but I didn't become a cowboy. So, you know, about three-fourths of the way through the year, I said, okay, this isn't working, and I just embraced the nerd that I was, and now I am the nerd that you know and love today, okay? But that's the idea, is not that we are changing, we're conforming to a certain standard or anything. We're trying to transform to be more like Jesus. We're allowing God to transform us to be more like Jesus. And we've talked about this verse a few times in the last few weeks. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Some translations even say, don't conform to this world. Okay? But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let God transform you. Let God make the changes by changing what's going on in your head. You know, we talk about the heart change, you know, and our hearts need to change. God gives us a new heart the moment we're saved, all right? He changes our heart, but our heads need to change. The way we think needs to constantly change and transform to the image of Christ. And so over the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about making a transformation in several areas of our life, okay? And we're going to talk about our spiritual health. Okay, we're going to talk about that today. Next week, we're going to talk about our physical health, our mental health, after that, then emotional health, relational health, financial health, and then vocational health. And if you've already gotten one of these books, you have probably glanced through it and seen all those things. I want to encourage you. We have a few left in the lobby. I want to encourage you to get one. Even if you're not part of a small group, you haven't joined one of our small groups, if you haven't joined one of the groups, I encourage you to do that. Get in one of the groups. Get connected to a group of people that are going to help you. You're going to find that it's much easier to do this when you're connected to a group of people, you know, and you've got people encouraging you, it's going to be easier to do this. And really, you'll find that it's much easier to do life connected to a group of people that can encourage you in every area of your life. So if you haven't already, sign up for one of the groups, but grab one of these books. There's a few left in the lobby. You can get them on Amazon. I think the nicer leather-looking one, it's not leather, but it looks like leather. Those are like $40 on Amazon. They're $15 in the lobby, so run to the lobby to get these. You can get a paperback version for $15 on Amazon. But go ahead and get one of these. They have a place for sermon notes. So, you can kind of have your Transform journal here. There's a place for sermon notes every week as we do the Transform series. You can take notes. There are daily devotionals that you can do. There are obviously the small group stuff, notes you take watching the videos, question and answer stuff. There are memory verses that we'll do starting next week. We'll look at the memory verse for each week, and we'll say that together. But there's lots in here. But the one thing that is in here is a place for you to set three-month goals for each one of those areas. So as you're talking about it as a group, we're talking about it here on Sunday mornings, we're talking about those different areas of your life, and you're thinking, okay, I do need to make some changes. Well, there's a place in here where you can set goals. And you can write down, okay, in 3 months, here's where I would like to be with this. In 3 months, here's how much weight I would like to have lost. We'll talk about that next week. I'll talk a lot about that next week. I'll repent next week. okay. So, if it's your finances, if it's stuff with work, you can set those goals, all right? So that's important. That's a huge part of this, is that goal setting. If we're going to if we're going to let God transform us, we have to set goals so we know that we're going. And really, some people will say, well, I don't set goals because when you set goals, you don't let the Holy Spirit work. Well, to think that we could stop the Holy Spirit from working first is just not possible. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to do what he needs to do, what we need of him. He's going to do that. But, our setting goals does not stop the Holy Spirit from working. Really, what it is we rely on the Holy Spirit to start those goals, And there's examples all through Scripture of people setting goals. The Apostle Paul is probably the greatest example. All throughout his writing and through his ministry, he set goals. Romans 15, he talks about some of those in verse 20. It says, "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else." Paul set the goal, if I go somewhere and there's no church, I'm going to start a church, okay? He also said this in Romans 15, 24. It says, "I'm planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome, and after I've enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey." I think only the Apostle Paul could say that. I don't think I could get away with that. If I come to your house, enjoy your fellowship for a little while, and then you can pay for my gas going home. I don't think I could get away with that. Apparently, the Apostle Paul could, but he said, my goal is to go to Spain. My goal is to go to Spain. He never made it to Spain. God had other plans, but he was setting those goals along the way. And so if we're going to set these goals, I think there's some important things to keep in mind about goal setting. Here's some things to think about. First, to a believer, all goals are spiritual goals. All goals are spiritual goals. Look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Everything you do, do to the glory of God. Every single thing. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father." So everything we do or say is to the glory of God, or should be to the glory of God. Really, it is to the glory of God. Our actions either worship him or they don't. So your actions say something about the glory of God in your life. So every goal is a spiritual goal. Everything we do is to the glory of God. And so every goal that we set should have a spiritual element to it that says, here's how I'm going to be a better servant of God by setting that goal. Every goal that we set should have a spiritual element that says, this is how I'm going to be a better servant of God. Founder of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, made this quote years and years and years ago. He said, "To the believer, there's no difference between the secular and the sacred. All ground is holy ground. Every bush is a burning bush." We can't separate ourselves from the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living within us. There's no time in our life where we get to say, "Holy Spirit, I'm going in there. You don't belong there, so you're going to wait here. Okay, and I'll be back." We don't get to say that. No matter where we go, what we do, the Holy Spirit is with us. And so everything we do, there's a sacred element to it. It's just a matter of us following the leading of the Holy Spirit we talked about a few weeks ago. So if you have a secular job, well, then you have a sacred presence at your job. Kids, if you go to a secular school, then you have a sacred purpose at that school that goes far beyond making good grades. If you have secular friends or unsaved friends, you have a sacred influence on those friends. Everything that we do is to the glory of God and demonstrates what the glory of God is to us. And that, so every goal that we set should be a spiritual goal. Every goal that we set should say, this is how I'm going to be a better servant of Jesus. If all of our goals are spiritual goals, then our goals are a statement of our faith in Christ. The goals we set are a statement of our faith, the strength of our faith in Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this, therefore we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. And when it says a huge crowd of witnesses, this is Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11, you remember, is the hall of faith, or the faith hall of fame. And it talks about all the patriarchs and the Bible heroes' names we know. Then it gets into some names that we don't know. And then it talks about just all those that went before us that were martyred. And so with all those people looking on, watching what we do, it says we have a great cloud of witnesses. We have all those that have gone before us watching us. So because of that, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne, okay? So we are doing this by keeping our eyes, we're setting these goals by keeping our eyes on Jesus, all right? Every goal is a statement of our faith. Every goal says, this is how much I'm following Jesus. This is how much I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Every goal that we set. And one of the great things about goal setting is that it helps us to focus less on our past. Goal setting helps us focus less on our past. So many people get so hung up in their past and the hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups of what happened years ago. We get so hung up in that we get stuck. We get so hung up in the past that really it's crippling. We can't move forward because we're stuck in the past. That's why ministries like Celebrate Recovery and Grief Share, all those things, they're so important because a lot of us get stuck in the past and we just need some help getting unstuck. And that's what those things exist for. So that you can take those hurts, habits, and hangups, get unstuck, and you can use those as a launch pad to do what God's created you to do. That's why those are there. Okay, but God didn't deliver us from our past so that we can focus on the future. God delivered us from our past so that we can focus on Jesus. There's a huge difference. And so if we're going to set goals, and all of our goals are spiritual goals, then where do we start? Where do we start? Okay, well, the best place to start is starting with a clean slate. You know, start with repentance. Start by confessing your sin. Now, that doesn't mean we're all caught up in sin and we're all have things in our closets that embarrass us or whatever. Doesn't mean that. It could just mean that the way we were doing something before did not line up completely with God's word, and we're going to start with a clean slate by saying, God, I was doing it wrong. Okay? I think Psalm 51 is the best example of what it looks like to repent. David, we know this story. David, when he was king, he was supposed to go out with his army, and it says he decided to stay home this time, and it says that he fell to temptation. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he committed murder to try and cover that up. Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance about what happened. So I want to look at that for a second. It said that he repented and he wrote this psalm. It says this, Psalm 51 verses 1 through 3 say, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion and it haunts me day and night. If we're going to set spiritual goals when it comes to our health, our finance, our work, all those things, it might be necessary, like David, if we're going to have a clean slate, by confessing, here's the problems I've had in those areas. All right? It's just saying, God, I've been doing it wrong. God, I have a problem with my finances, but God, I've been spending too much money. God, I have a problem with my relationships, but I haven't been the right kind of husband. I haven't been the right kind of wife. I haven't been the right kind of son, daughter. I haven't been what you've called me to be. So I need to make that right. I need to start with a clean slate. You know, you might just say, I've been selfish. I've been unkind. I've said things that I shouldn't have. Confessing that allows you to start with that clean slate and then move forward and focus on what Jesus has for your life. And here's the good news about forgiveness and confession. Forgiveness is immediate. When you say, "I repent," God says you are forgiven. It's immediate. Look at what David said in Psalm 51:7. He said, "Purify me from sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Okay? When we confess our sins, it's immediate. It happens right away. We are clean. We have a clean slate immediately. I love 1 John 1:9. It says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." If we confess it, he forgives it. There's no delay time. There's no waiting period. You know, and some of you may have grown up in churches or coming from churches or whatever that you know, when you confess your sin, you have to go talk to a person, and then that person says, "Okay, if you do these few things, you're forgiven." Okay? Bible doesn't describe it that way. The Bible describes it as when you confess, when you repent, you are immediately forgiven. When David repented of his sin, well, when the prophet came and confronted David, he said, "You have sinned." David said, "I repent." That was his response. Then the prophet's response to David immediately was, "You have been forgiven." He didn't say, "Okay, well, you need to go do these things to receive forgiveness. You need to go and you need to make it right. You need to go talk with this person. You need to go and give money or do this at the temple or whatever." He didn't say any of that. He said, "You have been forgiven because you repented of your sins." So repentance is immediate. If you need to start this transformation process by confessing your sin, immediately your sins are forgiven. They are cast as far as the east is from the west, buried in the ocean to be remembered no more, is the way the Bible describes it. Okay? So start with a clean slate. Next, share your experiences with other people. As you set goals, share it with others. As you seek forgiveness, share that with other people. All right? You know, I'm a goal setter. Every year I start the year off by making a list of goals for my ministry, and I write them on a piece of paper, or I write them on a Word document in my computer, and then I save it, and I put it on my desktop, and I look at it periodically, and I don't let anybody else see it. You know, now I stay focused on those goals, but if I let someone else see that, how am I going to respond? How much more seriously am I going to take those goals by letting someone see it? When I start sharing those goals, which I have, when I start sharing those goals with other people, I share them with Pastor Bear, I share them with other pastors, I share them with my wife, then I'm more inclined to say, I need to stay up with that goal because I've got that just someone else knowing gives me that sense of accountability. Share those goals with other people. All right, but your repentance as well, share that with them. Look at what David said in Psalm 51:12-13. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. God, forgive me my sin, restore my joy, and then I'm going to take this experience, what I did wrong, how I repented and how I've made it right, and I'm going to share that with other people. I'm going to share that with rebels." You know, and here's the cool thing. When you join a Connect group, you have joined the rebellion, okay? Everybody in that Connect group is a rebellious sinner like everybody else in this room. You know, we all struggle with sin. And so you're not going to join and you're not going to be the odd man out that has hurts and hangups. They all do. And so you're going to be able to talk about that and you're going to benefit from other people's experience. Because whatever you've gone through, someone else has gone through, and they're going to talk about it. And as you set goals, they're going to say, "Hey, I'm setting the same goal. Let's pray for each other." You talk about those goals. You hold each other accountable just by someone else knowing, and you're more likely to stay focused on those goals and stay focused on Christ. That's the benefit of those groups. So if you've not joined a group, I know I say this every week. It really is. It's not a church growth gimmick. It's a spiritual growth necessity to have other people in your life. It really is. So I encourage you to do it. Okay? So in your study this week, in your Connect group study, the first session that you go through, you're going to be challenged to set some goals for your spiritual life. All right? And you're going to be challenged in 5 different areas. You're going to be challenged to set goals for worship. You know, these are 5 basic things that all of us should be doing. And the first one is worship. What is it in your life, as far as worship goes, that you say, "Okay, this is what I should have been doing, or this is how I've been doing it wrong. This is how I need to do it from now on." You know, it could be something as simple as, you know, when I go to church, I just need to start singing. You know, I stand and listen to everybody else sing. The band is awesome. I love listening to them. I need to start worshiping. I need to start being proactive in that. You know, it might be that. It might be that you say, you know what, I do that, but maybe I need a personal worship time. You know, maybe I need that time alone where I'm just focused on God, not even apart from my quiet time, my Bible study and prayer time. Maybe I just need a personal worship time. Or maybe you're in here and like music is your thing and you've got talent and whatever, and you need to set the goal and say, hey, in the next 3 months, I really need to make an effort to be part of the worship team at Park Valley. You know, whatever is lacking in your life in the area of worship, think about, okay, here's the goal I need to set in that. All right, we're going to talk about, in addition to worship, we're going to talk about discipleship. You know, what am I doing to become a disciple? Discipleship is a big Bible word that means growing to become more like Jesus and helping other people to do the same. That's what discipleship is. You know, we say the word discipleship and immediately we all have kind of our own idea of what that means. Oh, it's small groups. Oh, it's one-on-one relationships. Yeah, it's all that. Okay, but it's growing to be more like Christ. And so what are you doing to grow to be more like Christ? You know, it may be just that, hey, I need to step out and I need to go to the Grow class next week. I need to start that next week. And I need to find out what Park Valley has to help me to grow to be more like Christ. Okay, it might be I need to start having a quiet time. I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to be the guy that influences someone else and helps them to grow. Whatever it is, set goals for that. Okay? We're going to talk about fellowship. Okay? Setting goals for fellowship. You know, it's important that we are surrounded by godly people. People that are going to pray for us, people that are going to be there for us. You know, you've heard us say it before, it's better to join a group now when you don't need the people than to need the people and not have them around, or to wait, join the group when you need somebody in your life. Join the group now, they'll be there for you. You know, but we need that kind of fellowship. We need people to do life together with. So it might be, hey, I need to step out and I really need to make the commitment. I need to set a goal that I'm going to join one of these groups. Or maybe you've been in group life for a while and your next step is, hey, I need to lead others. Okay, I need to lead others and start one of these groups. I need to host a group in my home. Whatever it is, set goals. Write these down. Share them with your group. Serving is another thing. We're all called to serve. And it just came back. All right, somebody can grab me another one just in case this keeps going out. But all of us are called to serve. You're never more like Jesus than you are when you're serving. So maybe it's time to step up and serve at Park Valley Church. We talked about that, I think it was last week. Maybe it's time to do that. Maybe it's just time to be available for my neighbors, you know? Nothing says Jesus loves you to the guy that lives next door to you than you serving that person, you know? So get to know your neighbors, serve them. Maybe that's it. You know, the last one is evangelism, and this is the one that scares everybody to death. Everybody's afraid of evangelism. Oh, I can never lead somebody to Christ. We don't have to lead somebody to Christ, but you know what? You need to let them know that you're a follower of Jesus. That's where evangelism starts. You know, God, there's nothing in the scripture that says, hey, you need to take a class and you need to be able to share the verses and know which verses to memorize and show it and be able to lead somebody to faith in Christ. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. What it says is be ready to give account for the hope that lies within you. You just need to be ready to point people in the direction of Jesus. Others, you know, if you talk to somebody and you point them in the direction of Jesus, or you talk to somebody and you share Christ with them with the purpose of leading them to Christ and they don't get saved, you didn't fail. You did what you were supposed to do, because the other part's up to the Holy Spirit. So as you're considering, what do I need to do with evangelism, it might be, hey, I need to start telling people that I'm a believer. I need to start making it obvious that I'm a believer so that people can say, boy, what's different about you? And you can say, I have Jesus in my life. Maybe that's the transformation that has to happen first. You know, or it might be, hey, I have a loved one and I know what to say, I just don't have the guts to say it. And your goal may be, in the next 3 months, I need to share Christ with this loved one. My kids aren't saved, I need to share Christ with them. My parents aren't saved. I need to share Christ with them. That might be where it starts. But it all starts with repentance. God, I'm sorry I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. God, I'm sorry I was doing it the wrong way. Start with that clean slate, immediate forgiveness, and then say, here's what I need to do in these areas. You're going to be challenged to do that this week. You know, and one more thing to think about is that don't let your limitations determine your goals. Let God determine the goals. You know, don't think in terms of how big your goal is. Think in terms of how big your God is when you set these goals. Because God can do more than you could ever imagine. There's a verse that says that. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Because God's power is at work within us, we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. Because his power is at work within us, we are able to do more than we could ever imagine or think. I can imagine a lot, okay? And you can too. And just to think that, hey, here's the biggest thing I can imagine doing, just to know that God could do that 100 times over through your life. God's capable of doing that. So if you're scared to death to share the gospel with somebody, God's got it. God can do that through you. If you're scared to death just to sing out loud on a Sunday morning, God's got it. God can do that through you. So don't think of your terms, don't think of your goals in terms of how big your goal is. Think of it in terms of how big your God is, because he can do so much more. Before we wrap this service up, our band is going to come back out. We're going to end this service worshiping. I think that's a great way. You know, when anytime you make a commitment for God, Satan's like, okay, I gotta stop that. Okay, you've declared war on Satan and he's declared war on you. He doesn't want you to transform. He wants you to get stuck. All right. So in the Old Testament, anytime the warriors went out, they sent the choir first. I used to be a choir director. That practically, that's a bad idea, okay? But that's the way they did it. They sent the worshipers first. So we're going to go out today worshiping because we're going to do that, and we're going to kick this Transform series off by walking out of here worshiping God. But before we do that, you know, the transformation that takes place in your mind should be preceded by a transformation that has taken place in your heart. And so maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You came in, you're visiting, you've come from another church, you've never heard this before. You know, it all starts with that transformation that takes place in your heart. And it has nothing to do with anything that we do. It has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again so that we can have eternal life, so that we can have a relationship with him. And he doesn't require anything of us. He doesn't say you have to be good enough. He doesn't say you have to attend church often enough. You don't have to give enough. All you have to do is trust that Jesus died on the cross for you, and you can have eternal life. 1 John says, "I write these things so that you can know that you have eternal life." You can walk out of here today knowing absolutely, positively, no question in my mind, I am going to heaven. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross. So just for a minute, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray. Let's just take a moment and you can pray. If you need to accept Christ, and you can pray in your heart and your mind, you can repent of your sin and you can ask him to be your Savior, or you could say something like this and just say, "Dear Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the eternal life that I can have because of his death, burial, and resurrection. God, thank you that I don't have to do anything to earn your love and to earn eternal life. So today I repent of my sin, knowing that my sins are forgiven the moment I say I repent. And I accept Jesus as my Savior and trust in his death, burial, and resurrection for my eternal life." So if you prayed that just now, still with heads bowed and eyes closed, I would love it if you would lift your hand just so that we can know who you are and pray for you. Okay, very good, awesome. Hands all over the place. All right, Father, thank you for your Spirit moving in here and calling these people to you. Lord, these that have accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would grow to be very real inside of them. Lord, surround them with people that are going to help them to grow and to encourage them to be more like Christ. And God, I pray that you would just use these people in a mighty way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Still with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer, you just lifted your hand, you can grab a black bag on your way out. There's a Bible in there for you. And some other things. And our ushers will be handing Bibles out to anybody that needs them today. If you need a Bible or you've got a friend that needs a Bible, take it from our ushers and they're there for you. But if you're here today and as we were talking, you're thinking about the goals that you're setting in your life, it's important that we start with that clean slate. So if you're here today and you have something to confess about one of these areas, Lord, that the Lord is leading you in, Then I just want you to raise your hand. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. And if you need that clean slate in some area of your life, just lift your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. Hands going up everywhere. All of us need it. My hand is up too. So let's pray. Father, thank you for these people that are here today that understand, Lord, we've done things wrong, Lord, when it comes to our relationships, our finances, our health. We've done things incorrectly. And Lord, we want to start with a clean slate. Lord, we want to start with your forgiveness. So, Lord, together, in this room together, we repent of that. We repent of the poor choices we made. We repent of not following your word in these areas. God, I pray that you would just help each person in here as they are starting with that clean slate to focus on you, focus on your son, so that we can transform to his image in all of these different areas of our life. God, we love you. Thank you so much for sending Jesus. Lord, it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sermon of the Week. If you accepted Christ, want to accept Christ, or just want to see what Park Valley Church is about, you can email us at info@parkvalleychurch.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.